Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday worship. Today we are going to continue the Major Prophets series, the Lamentations. Today I'm going to use Lamentation chapter 3, verse 19 through 27. The topic is the new grace, the new grace. Before we start the message, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for gathering us to worship you. May you open our hearts and minds to see the truth and the grace. May we also have the courage and the strength to live out such great faith and the truth. We pray for many who are suffering. May they see the new grace throughout this message and this study. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was born into a priestly family raised in the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. He was called by God as prophet from very young age. He never married. He lived out a very, very difficult but very faithful life throughout four kings of Judah. Four kings. One good king, three bad kings. And he was the witness to the last kingdom of Judah until its fall. After Judah fall, he was taken to Egypt by his fellow countrymen. And in Egypt, he was stoned to death. But it was such a prophet who lived in a time of judgment and also death. But he shed God's grace, he shed God's light into a dark time, brought total new hope to the future generations. It also for this very reason that the Lamentations have become the comfort of Jewish nation. Every year, when they remember the exile, the fall of their kingdom, the subjection of their nations, they read the Lamentations. There has never been a nation on earth like the nation of Israel celebrating its own demise, but at the same time mourning with hoping, from same book, Lamentations. It is also the same for our Christians. From the book of Lamentations, we mourn the judgment, but we also celebrate the salvation. There is a very famous psalm called Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. This great hymn, the lyrics was taken directly from Lamentation chapter 3, verse 23. Great is Thy Faithfulness, morning by morning, they are new, morning by morning. Lamentations are the dawn of the darkness, hope of the despair, new grace in judgment. I invite you to reflect our life. Are we in any despair? Are we in any sufferings right now? It is, may not be in big form, like cancer. Even a small mood change, small daily challenge can throw us off, can hurt us, can make us somewhat depressed. We all face uncertainties. We all face sufferings. We all face challenges daily. Now, how can we draw God's new grace in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our challenge? How do we get God's new grace? That's the purpose of today's message. We are going to look at from the Lamentations to look at how can we draw on God's new grace in the midst of our challenge, our sufferings, our difficulties, or even others, so we can help others. Lamentations means sorrow, sigh. Have you ever sighed? Or have you recently sighed? It is very simple. You just, but rarely we do. I don't remember what I did the last time. Lamentation literally meant sigh. Chapter 1, 2, 4 start with the same word, aha. Aha. That means a sigh. In English translation, it means how, why. It's a rational challenge, but in the Hebrew word, just a sigh. The Hebrew express their sorrows, mournings, so differently from us. They tore the cloth, they put ash on their heads, and they walk slowly, and they sigh. They also sing, they sing. Their expression is so different from the Western and Eastern people. In our Eastern culture, we do not show our emotions. We do not show our weakness. No tears. Man never cries. There was a saying, true man never cry. And in the Western culture, we rationalize the suffering. We rationalize many things. We ask why and how. We analyze. When we hear some bad news, sad news, we ask how and why, blah, blah, blah. We never pause to connect, to link the sorrow, the grief that the other people experience. And then when we come to the book of Lamentations, it brought me the attention, the need for sigh. The first step to receive the new grace. I think between the new grace and our situation lies the sigh. Just a small sigh, small step, not big, but most people will miss it, don't like it. We like to analyze, we like to think, we like to make sense, and we like to suppress our feelings. That's not the way Lamentation shows. In the Lamentation, we can see Jeremiah shed much tears, weeping until his eyes are blind, lost sight. So we need to refocus our life. Not too much rational, not too much willpower, but more of emotional, sensitive, more of sighing to the grieving situation. I think as parents, we need to show to our children much of emotion, feelings. We need to listen to them and be emotionally connected with them, listen to their joy and sorrows, and be connected with their situations. In our Chinese culture, we emphasize on the intellect, we emphasize on the knowledge, we study the exams, we want to be doctors, we want to be famous musicians, and we practice instruments. These are all good, but not the best, because we do not realize there is more rich in life we never experience. We never even wanting to go there. That is the emotion expression. Sighing is one of the expression for emotion, especially for sorrow, for grieving. Lamentation teaches us the need, ability to sigh. Second, we need to be connected with each other. Connected with each other, especially in suffering, in our difficult situations. Lamentations has 5 chapters. Each chapter is a lament song. There are 5 lament songs. And in those 5 lament songs, there are 3 protagonists, 3 major roles. The first protagonist is the nation of Israel, represented by Jerusalem. The second protagonist is Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the individual, an individual. The third is God. There are 3 protagonists: the nation, the individual Jeremiah, and God. And we can see Jeremiah, this individual, this person, is the connector. He connects the nation of Israel. He also connects God. So 3 roles, Jeremiah is a key connector. In chapter 1, the main protagonist is the nation of Israel, represented she, Jerusalem. The theme is her punishment, her punishment. Second, chapter 2, second lament song, the protagonist is God, he. The theme is his judgment. So her suffering, his judgment. In the third lament song, chapter 3, the protagonist is Jeremiah. There are 66 verses in chapter 3. Verse 1 through 39 is between Jeremiah, the individual, and God. They are much struggling, tearing before God, praying, crying, weeping, asking. The second part, verse 40 through 66, is we, the Jerusalem, with Jeremiah to God. It is in this section, second section, Jeremiah, the prophet, find the new light, find the new grace, which we will talk about later on. The fourth Lament Psalm, chapter 4, the protagonist is them, we, meaning Jerusalem as a whole. Jeremiah also included. The fifth, last one, chapter 5, the protagonist is we and God, everyone. So individual, nation, and God are in one. We pray, we present our prayer to God. You can see the five lament psalm and its central person part, Jeremiah, from chapter 3. In chapter 3, Jeremiah, one person, he was wrestling with God until he saw God's new grace. And in chapter 4, he joined the nation, joined his countrymen to receive God's new grace. So he is pivotal point. So he is a key person. He is a key connector in this whole lamenting songs. So number 2, the key to receive new grace is to connect. To connect with each other in suffering. So how do we connect? Where do we connect? I think in our church environment, the primary connectors, people need to connect, are the leaders, pastors, elders, deacons, group leaders. They are the primary connectors to other people. Just as Jeremiah, as a prophet of God, he connects people with God through his life. We too need to do the same. We connect with people. All the leaders are the connectors. Now, we're going to ask, where do we meet with people? How do we connect with people? First, we connect people in their homes, in the hospitals, maybe in the nursing homes, maybe in the church, on the streets, in the neighborhood. Wherever we go, we see people, we need to connect. Last week, I was talking to my neighbor, and he told me nearby was a veteran. He lost one leg during the war, and he was sitting in the wheelchair, moving along with one leg, pushing the wheels with his two hands. And my neighbor told me, this veteran is the most joyful person. Many people have very healthy body life and are very, very depressed. And this person lost a leg, and he's the most joyful person. And I asked my neighbor, did you share the gospel? And he said, yeah, I prayed for him. And my neighbor said, he has hope, but not in this world, but in God's kingdom. I said, amen. My neighbor, by the way, is a Christian. We as leaders, we as Christians, we need to reach out to other people, whether Christians or non-Christians. We need to reach out with them. Wherever we go, whoever we see, we need to reach out to them. Second, we can reach people in the prayer meetings. Do you know when people have very tough situations, they come to the prayer meetings? Many people in the church may not ever attending prayer meetings until they have very, very desperate situation. Then they come to the prayer meetings. How do we respond? Why did you come? I never seen you. What's up? When you see those kind of people, you know immediately they have trouble. They have a hard situation. They are suffering. So we need to have a gentle heart to welcome, to connect with them. In the time of national disaster like 911, do you know that people flooded to churches? People flooded to the prayer meetings. Where do we meet needing people, hurting people? In the prayer meetings. In the prayer meetings. So I challenge everyone, including me, starting with visitations, starting with the prayer meetings. We need to evaluate our prayer meeting in a new way. I think our Western prayer meetings are too intellect, too rationalized about theology, about teaching, about sharing. 1 hour prayer meeting, we maybe spend 40 minutes teaching, sharing, not praying. Not praying with tears, with video, with emotions, with love to each other. Through the Lamentations, if we really read it, I think it shows a lot of praying spirit. Jeremiah was regarded as a weeping prophet. But if we read his work, those are praying words. Those were from his heart, are prayers. We need to have a new focus, new mind, new spirit for our prayers. We need less intellect. We need less intellect, but more spiritual, emotional focused, with tears, with godly zeals. This is my suggestion. Starting with Lamentations, looking for all the tearful words and the prayings, and memorize them. And when we go to prayer meetings, or when we go to our private prayers, we can use those verses, we can use those expressions, we can feel the spirit that led Jeremiah to pray also, working in our hearts. So our prayers can be revolutionized through the Lamentations. So number two of receiving the new grace is connecting with each other with prayers, especially lamentation style of praying. Number three, now we are going to look at the literary devices from Lamentations. Due to the time constraints, I only share two such features. Number one is long expressions. Because of the lamenting nature, the sorrowful mind, the Lamentations, each verse is very long, relatively longer than other verses. There's a need to express the emotions, the sorrows, the pains. So naturally, he needs to use more words, right? When we really hurting, we want to say something, we want to express deep sorrows, we need more word. And we often feel not enough. Number two features is there's often a supplement after the long verse. In other words, after the long verse, there is a short one. The short one is a supplement to the long one, And also, sometimes it's more transcendent. It's like you were thinking about something for a while, you try to figure out, you try to express what's going on, and you said much, but later on, you're not really satisfied. You find a new word, you find a new phrase, and you must add that onto the other, the one first. So that's happening here. After a long verse, there is often a supplement to that one. This is the second feature. So I do encourage you to look into the Lamentations, all five chapters, to pick up those two literary devices, features. For example, chapter 1, verse 1 reads, "How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave." Now, when we look at the verse 1, there are three sentences. Two, how, and the third one is she who was a queen among the provinces has now become a slave. This sentence actually is a supplement to the other how. Without this one, the other two were sufficient to express his feeling. But with this one, it's more complete, even more emphasizing the situation. So the sentence 3 was an add-on to the other two sentences. We can find many, many such cases throughout Lamentations. Back to Lamentations chapter 3, 19 through 27, which is the turning point of Jeremiah's situation, his suffering. 19, 20, 21, read, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is cast down within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." Jeremiah here already told us he was in bitterness and the gall, is like a very bitter part of a body, really in bitterness. He remembered them meaning the demise of the nation, the fall of the Jerusalem, the Babylon coming in to conquer the great capital city of Judah. When he remembered those upcoming events, his heart, his body was in pain, was in bitterness. But it's very strange that in verse 21 he said, "Yet this I call," meaning the very event that bothered him, "I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." What's going on here? How can he get depressed, casting down, and at the same time receive the hope and brought up? This is impossible. A person cannot be in fear and not in fear at the same time. A person cannot be in doubt, but not in doubt at the same time. What's going on here? The answer are in the following verses, verse 22-23. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." When we read those two verses, we see a new hope. in God's love and mercy. Yes, the fate of the Judah didn't change. The fall of the Jerusalem didn't change. But the mercy, the love of God arrived in Jeremiah's mind. That brought him the new hope, the new grace. In other words, the circumstances didn't change, but his heart changed because God's love and the grace. That is, even in the worst of circumstances, God's love and mercy do not change. This unchanging love is covenantal love, covenant love. The second commandment says, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. This is the Ten Commandments. In the second commandment, God promised those who love him, his mercy and love will last 4,000 generations. This is a covenant love. Covenant love is eternal, unchanging. So speaking of covenant love, do you remember the new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31? In the previous message, the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, we have shared about the new promise from God when they faced the imminent fall of Jerusalem. God promised, after those times, I will give them a new covenant. I will put my law, my spirit, in their heart. That is to say, after the exile, after they came back to their home country, God will resume a new covenant. The main feature, whether the old covenant or new covenant, is God's love and mercy. We have to grasp this key concept. The key factor behind God's covenant is his love. His love never changes. His love endures throughout all generations. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This refers to the love and mercy in verse 22, which is new every morning. Why would he say new in the morning, not new in the noon, not new in the evening? I think God's love and mercy new every morning means three things. Number one, the morning sunbeam, the morning light, represents a new beginning. Every morning is a new beginning. Number two, the new morning light represents the end of the overnight darkness. Whatever happened, the fear, the nightmare occurred during the night, during the morning sunlight, it is over. It's over. Number three, morning sunlight represents the blessing of life. Blessing of life. Do you know morning time is the only time you can go out and sunbathing, receiving the sun without hurting your skin and your eyes? If you go out at noon, you will hurt your eyes, you will hurt your body, skins. But morning sunlight, no problem, you can gaze upon the rising of the sun from the horizon all the way until 8 o'clock, no problem. For those who are night owls, our sleeping pattern being really off. You know, we sleep late and get up late. Some people can never change that, want to change, never be able to change. And I give you a suggestion. Get up earlier, go out to run and to gaze upon sun, to do sunbathing. Do you know amazing thing will occur when you expose under the morning sun? your biological clock will be readjusted and it will be set astray. So you will be able to sleep earlier, get up earlier with fresh energy. So this is third feature of morning sunlight. Can resume us a correct, powerful life pattern throughout the day. So Jeremiah was saying, God's love and mercy are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. He connect with God's love and grace with God's faithfulness. Faithfulness is a very special word in the Old Testament. It meant two things, has two meanings. One is God's salvation. God is faithful because he saves. The second part of faithfulness is God's judgment. God is faithful. He must judge. He will judge. So when you connect God's love, mercy to God's faithfulness, that means in God's love and mercy, there will be a salvation, but also there will be a judgment. Many times we think about God's love and mercy and faithfulness, we think about the good salvation, good things, but we rarely think the other way. God's love and mercy can also mean the judgment, punishment. We don't think that way. We don't like that way. We can even say, I don't want to believe such God. If there is God to punish me in hell, I don't want to have anything, any part with this God. I have personally heard such people saying to me, I don't want to believe whatever you believe. If there is a hell, I don't. We need to have a new, fresh looking at God's love and mercy in light of judgment. Jeremiah, in his personal and nation's judgment, he looked upon God's covenant. He saw God's love and mercy that he connected with God's salvation. In the very middle of the judgment, he saw God's love and mercy and the salvation. Therefore, he received a new grace personally. And then he brought this new grace to his countrymen, to other people. He wrote this in the Lamentations to future generations, for the future generations. We need to look at God's new grace in this way. In God's judgment, there is love and mercy. In the judgment, there is love and mercy. We also need to realize in God's love and mercy, there is judgment. And they cannot separate. In God's judgment, there is love and mercy. So we do not despair. We do not lose hope. We do not lose the grace. Same time, in God's love and mercy, we have to see judgment. Therefore, we do not waste God's grace. We do not abuse God's grace. This is the whole breakthrough of Jeremiah's dilemma, of his suffering, of the nation's judgment. After this, after chapter 3, verse 22, Jeremiah was able to transcend his situation into the nation, brought the nation out of their calamity, dilemma. So in chapter 4, there was a Jerusalem suffering. Jerusalem suffering in chapter 4 is so different from chapter 1, Jerusalem suffering, because in chapter 4, it's we are in suffering, but also we are in repentance. You notice that? Jeremiah joined the people in chapter 4, not in chapter 1, Chapter 1, he was looking far ahead, say she. Chapter 4, he joined with people, say we, Jerusalem, we repent. Chapter 5, he also joined the people in judgment to say, we pray. We pray to you, O God, revive us. Don't leave us in judgment. Do you see the transcendent of this new grace? Jeremiah was able to bring people out of this suffering and judgment into a new hope, new grace, new horizon. Hallelujah. Praise to God. All right, we're going to summarize today's message. Lamentation chapter 3, 19 to 27, the new grace. We talk about the three features to receive the new grace, three steps to receive the new grace. Number one, learn to lament and sigh in suffering. Number two, learn to connect in the midst of suffering. He is a connector between God and his countrymen. We also need to be the connection between people and God. We talked about leaders need to visit the people in homes, in their situations, to connect with them. Leaders to be in the prayer meetings to pray in the same spirit that Jeremiah has. And we talk about the characteristic of five chapters, and we talk about characters of five chapters of Lamentations. God, Jeremiah, and the nation of Israel. The third lesson of today's message is to experience new grace in God's faithfulness. Chapter 3, verse 19 through 27. We talked about literary devices of Lamentations, the short sentences after the long ones, its supplementary enhancement after Lamentations. Number two, a turn of despair to hope in the midst of suffering. God's love, mercy, is his covenant love, covenant feature. And God's love and mercy are new every morning, meaning new beginning, meaning the old, the dark night is over, and the new life blessing. And we talked about God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness has two directions. One is salvation, one is judgment. Love, mercy, expressed in both directions, both salvation and judgment. Especially when we are in a hard situation, in the judgment, we can see, we must see God's love and mercy. On the other hand, when we are in God's love and mercy, we also should see God's judgment so we do not abuse God's grace. Some application questions. Number one, find out how the long and the short verses in Lamentations. Number two, what are some things in your life today that you should sigh but have not yet sighed about? Number three, what is the key to the new grace in our suffering today? Number four, what effect does weeping, Jeremiah, have on our prayers? What improvements do we need in our prayers? A few years ago, my wife and I went through some very, very hard life situations. One day, my wife was alone, was weeping. She went through the saddest moments of her life. I wasn't there. And as she was weeping and crying, all of a sudden, she just heard a voice in her heart. That little voice is the voice of God. It's God's new grace in her heart. After that, she was able to recover to stand up again, to face the challenge. In the past few weeks, I have prayed for several people. They had a very, very hard, desperate situation, terminal ill, and a situation that doctors never be able to heal for over 10 years. And I have a 4-year small nephew and has leukemia. Those are very, very huge suffering, hard situations. When I prayed for those individuals, I have so much heart for their healings. And I pray to God, I ask for God for total healings, even beyond their expectations. And I'm still looking, still waiting for the total healing. And I have such heart for them. I pray them for the total restoration, but I also pray for God's sovereignty upon them. Dear brothers, sisters, when we listen, when we learn from Jeremiah, the Lamentations, we need to have such compassionate heart. We need to have such compassionate heart to pray, to connect with people for their situations, to shed our tears, our emotions, our hands, our words with them. And I have such hope, such faith in our God. He's good, He's loving, He's merciful. And His compassion will sustain our loved one throughout their hard situations. And one day, like our neighbor said, we have new hope in heaven, not in this world. One day we will have new hope, we have new life in heaven. God will wipe away all our tears, and there will be joy in heaven forever with our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for today's new grace. May we richly, richly receive the new grace into our hearts, our minds, our body and soul. May we start to learn how to sigh, how to grieve, how to connect, how to look upon your new grace in our hardest situation, in our darkest moment. We thank you for your past blessings. We thank you for your future blessings. We, as your children, your people, always trusting in your goodness, your faithfulness to sustain us, transcend us into the future victory and future glory in the heaven. This world is not our home. We're not looking for the best solution from this world, but your kingdom in the future, Jesus Christ, is the ultimate joy, love, and rest. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.